You're listening to Love and Light with Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today, and most people don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. The key to this is simple: love. Join me, Dr. Lisa Collins, for the next hour as I unpack and identify the need for a peaceful, love-filled existence by engaging the challenging and hard topics of life. On this show, you will lean into the healing practices that enlarge your spiritual reality through the act of love. This kind of love begins with yourself and your neighbor and transcends age, race, sex, generation, class, and sexual identity. The world changes when we root ourselves in love. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa starts now. Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience how to bring more love into your everyday life each second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 12 Mountain, 4 Eastern. We will have tools for living every day in peace. Who gets to explore the outdoors freely? Some of us have always had freedom in the outdoor spaces, while others have to be a little bit more cautious about their safety. Welcome to Love and Light, a visionary outdoor futurist, Jocelyn Rice. We are very fortunate to have her here today. She is the founder of Black Earth United. She is a mother, like I had mentioned, a Black outdoor futurist, a three-time Gear of the Year award-winning apparel designer who brings love and light to environmental justice, design, and exposure. She lights the way to the outdoors to be your authentic self. Jocelyn, welcome to Love and Light.
Thank you so much, Dr. Lisa. I appreciate it.
She's special. You really need to clue in on this amazing designer and advocate for outdoor living. Jocelyn and I recently returned from the Arctic. We were together working on environmental justice there today. If you were going to watch the YouTube of this, you'll see I'm in casual wear today. I'll just say what I'm representing. I'm representing a national park on my hat. I'm representing Love is King on my wrist. And I'm representing RUC 22, which is a support for veterans who come back around mental health and suicide. And so Jocelyn and I experienced many, many things together. We won't talk about all of that here today. Stay tuned next time. I will have a show about interviewing the indigenous people from the Arctic. But this show is about bringing your authentic self to the outdoors, which Jocelyn is amazing at. I watched it firsthand. And so I just had to have her on the show to talk about what outdoor spaces that don't look like the dominant way that outdoor spaces are projected to us. So, Jocelyn, welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about yourself, your journey. I mean, let the viewers know who you are and how you founded Black Earth United.
Sure. Thank you so much. Alaska was completely transformative and still in processing. When we got back Friday, because traveling a lot and so still processing all that. But like Dr. Lisa said, my name is Jocelyn Rice. I found a career in outdoor design in a very this way, that way kind of movement. I was originally going to college to be a Black History professor. And when I was in Professor Harrison's class, it was 303. It was at Portland Community College. And he started talking about the Harlem Renaissance movement. And as we all know, or might not know, you know, I grew up in the 90s and there wasn't all of the information we have now, like history wasn't being taught in the same way. And I didn't grow up in a family that taught Black history, regardless of me being a Black woman. And so when I learned about it, it was just so again, just transformative to see how Black creatives just banded together from the Americas to Europe and used art and music as a way to tell stories and to bring each other together. And so I left and decided to go to design school. I've always really loved fashion, and I think clothes are, for me, just a way for me to express myself. And I feel like I can be whoever I want to be, depending on what I want to wear that day. And we all, regardless of if we think that we like fashion, we all make choices every single day about how we show up in our clothing. And just as you said, I'm in casual wear today. People know what that means when you say you're in casual wear. I mean, it is a part of our world, and it is, in my mind, a very powerful tool that can be used for informing people of who we are and where we come from and what we represent. So went to design school, and I really wanted to have my own line of clothing, and I wanted to design these couture gowns inspired by African people and traveled to Africa. And I did a lot of that work for a long time. And then there's not a lot of money out of college for couture gowns in Portland, Oregon. So I wound up just applying for, you know, jobs. And I honestly, the only people that would hire me was an outdoor company. And so I went there and I just thought, oh, I'll go, I'll pay my student loans, I'll kind of just kind of figure out what this corporate thing's about. And just really fell in love with the outdoor industry. I have always been an, I guess, outdoorsy person in the sense that I've camped a lot growing up. And, you know, we had a big family and there were seven of us, and we would just hop in our van and camp and go to all the national parks. And it was just a big part of my life. I also lived on a lot of property, and my grandfather was a veterinarian, and just was able to kind of, for me, it was a place of solace, understanding that for other people, belonging and safety, for them, it means something different. And so I just kind of reinvigorated me in a way. And then I was able to, over time, kind of bring that love of Black history and the outdoors together when I founded Black Earth United, which is a outdoor clothing company that tells stories of the Black experience outdoors through our clothes. So,
wow. I mean, I don't know any place else that is, when I see your work, like telling the stories of Black history through our clothes, and then having those clothes be clothes that we could wear. Like my paradigm is being shifted about what you can wear in the outdoors. Like, we were in the backcountry together. Mm-hmm. So in the backcountry together, and as a designer, like, it is really mind blowing. Like, wait a minute. First of all, we're all free. Just in case you didn't realize you were free, you are free. And you can wear anything you want to wear or not wear in the backcountry. But what Jocelyn's expertise with, down to the fabric, down to the breathability, it is not my expertise. So I was very impressed with how thoughtful you were about all of those things in design and the outdoors, and also bringing the Black experience to it and the Black history to it. It's just like, can you tell, give us some examples of what your line looks like, or how do you bring the Black history to it? And then I also want to add, when we were there, we were with the Gwich, I think I'm saying that correctly. Gwich'in tribe. And you studied the tribe before we went there, and just tell us a little bit about your process of bringing stories, indigenous stories, Black stories to your work.
Sure. I think, you know, the industry in general, it is really beautiful because it gets people out there, which is what we want to do. We want to be able to experience the land, but what I feel like a lot of times we forget is that we're always intent on conquering it. We're always intent on summiting something. We're always trying to, or always might, I talk in absolutes, I apologize. I don't necessarily mean always, but it is a something within the industry that I've always struggled with, that isn't always, that we are living with it. Like we act as if we're living on it, that we're like I said, conquering it, doing all these things, when we're actually should be living with it. And the clothes that we wear should not only benefit ourselves when we're out there to protect ourselves from the elements, because we do have to protect ourselves from Mother Nature at times. You know, she's very unforgiving and does not care what's going on with you, as we experienced when we were out there. It can change really quickly. And so what you're wearing is really important. And, but it also should, in my opinion, be something that works in harmony with the land as well. And that I mean from the fact that a lot of our outdoor clothing are really loud, like pants that people wear, the materials that we use, the chemicals that are used on your outdoor apparel cause it to be kind of crunchy sounding. And like, so I'm trying to develop different ways of going back to indigenous cultures, going back to these places where this didn't always exist and we was good. We were okay. Like, we managed out there. And the ways in which we managed were really being in harmony with each other. And the Native people work in harmony with their, you know, communities and with the land. And I want to get us there. Like, that's what I want to see us doing, because then I think we can kind of move past the fear of it all. Because honestly, I think part of my process too is understanding, like, nature can mean different things to different people, and it does. And we do hear this consistent narrative around Black and Brown folks that we're afraid of it, that we have to protect ourselves out there because of the people and that are out there to harm us as well. And I think that there's also another story to be told that's a couple generations back that we can lean into and say, oh, okay, our enslaved ancestors loved the outdoors. That's where they found respite. That's where they sang their songs. That's where they, you know, cooked together and were in harmony with each other. And they were not afraid of it at all. It was protection for them. Harriet Tubman, it was protection. She knew that, like, the back of, I mean, she knew it. And so I think if we can lean more into those stories and that stuff as well, it can bring us to a different place.
Wonderful. Fantastic. I can't wait to hear more. We are going to take a break right now. You're listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, and our amazing guest, Jocelyn Rice, the founder of Black Earth United. And Jocelyn is a person who brings the outdoors to your authentic self. We'll be right back.
You're driven. And it totally shows. Your career is taking off. You're killing it in the mom game. But did your health needs make it on the plate this week? Tune in to Boss Up Babes, where Carissa Adkins helps babes show up, boss up, and thrive. Every second and fourth Tuesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Become the boss babe you were meant to be. To sign up for one of Carissa's group coaching programs, visit 365DailyHustle.com.
Melissa Johnson is a certified life coach, author, speaker, and creator of Wow Ministries, Worship Over Worry, designed to give you the tools needed to live a life of purpose. You have a choice daily to worry about your life and give up the fight, or decide to worship God through your pain and triumph victoriously. Melissa Johnson offers a variety of books, curriculums, and programs to guide you through a self-discovery journey.
Book your consultation with Melissa Johnson today at wowministriesllc.com.
Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit ChampionYourLife.com and let's do this together.
Your own innate brilliance already lives inside of you. Come discover it so you can shine brightly in this world. Join me, your host, Adrienne Cobb, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, during My Wild Magic on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get answers to who you are and where you belong. To learn more about me and the show, visit MyWildMagic.com. Again, that's MyWildMagic.com.
TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let the journey begin.
We're back on Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. And my guest, Jocelyn Rice, founder of Black Earth United, is with us. And she's also a three-time Gear of the Year award-winning apparel designer. And so, Jocelyn, how can people follow you? How can they contact you? What info can you give our listeners?
Sure. You can find my website at blackearthunited.com. I also write a blog on there as well about Black outdoor histories, little known facts. I also have an Instagram at Black Earth United, Twitter at Black Earth United, Facebook at Black Earth United, LinkedIn at Jocelyn Rochelle Rice. You can find me at those spots.
Nice. Awesome. So we were talking about how you started Black Earth United, how you had your journey into design. I guess I have to ask, about the three-time Gear of the Year award-winning apparel designer. So before we go on, I have to know more about that.
I mean, it's one of those things that it's wild to think that I've gotten that opportunity to design gear that has been considered like high quality gear. Over the course of my career, most of the gear that I've worked on has been really high-end, athletic, like working with athletes to help them summit mountains, to help them do what they do best. So a lot of that gear, those three different awards were for three different jackets that worked in alpinism, and then backcountry ski, and then snowboarding as well. So and it was I've worked with women a lot, so mostly women's gear, which is something that I feel very, very proud of, because women have been really left out of the conversation of outdoors for a really long time, and women of color are still kind of left out. We're finding our way. The outdoor industry is getting better in the wake of George Floyd and everything, the revolution that finally reached a crescendo to where we couldn't ignore anything anymore. And so the outdoor industry's they have been forced to see us in a different way. But over the course of my career, really been an advocate for women and their work. And so being able to win those awards with Eddie Bauer was who I won them with, was a really amazing opportunity. And working on the first ascent line for a company like Eddie Bauer, who is just, you know, they designed the first down jacket and worked with the military. Like, their gear is really inspiring and beautiful in the way in which they've created it. So to be able to work on that team on a heritage brand like that was just like such a, I still kind of can't believe it. it was an honor to design things that protected people doing the thing that they love so much and be able to do it in a way that they, you know, you always design outdoor gear to, you don't want anybody to think about what they're wearing, because all you want them to do is to experience the land for how beautiful it is. And like, right. You don't want to have to think about a zipper or a button or the fit of anything. Like, you just want to be able to go. And so being able to do that was pretty dope.
I love that. I love that. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I love what you were saying about like the outdoors and the connection between us and all there is and how that is the relationship. And the relationship is not the other things that on the surface we seem to think it is about who's controlling who. But I love that. I like waking up in the Arctic and seeing the mountains and snow on the mountains and sitting there having a cup of coffee, just doing my morning routine, It's really super powerful. Mm-hmm. And so for our listeners, this idea of us connecting to the land mm-hmm. and this continuation, I would say, or continuity of who we are, I think that's a unique idea. I don't know if people have really talked about that when we're even talking about environmental justice or climate justice. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
I mean, I'm still developing my ideas as well. I think, so whenever you ask me a question, I'm like, okay, I'm sure in 2 days I'll write you an email about something else. Like that. Because when you work in that, when we work within these systems, which I think are extremely valuable, like the outdoor industry as a whole has its own GDP. That's how big it is. Like it is massive. And when you work within that system, there is a definition and a way in which of working that they operate under. And so I worked in that for over a decade. I've only been out of it for a year and a couple of months. And so I am still consistently trying to understand, like, what are my actual ideas about the outdoors? Because I've been selling someone else's idea. Like, I still am rooted in, like, what my belief system is in that, like, the protection of people and the environment and trying to push these things within that system, but and actively removing barriers and what ways can I do that from the designer's perspective and things like that. But really changing what the outdoor industry means. It has a very narrow definition. So moving into the space of more connection to the land, and it can be on such a micro level. I think too, you know, we see as we do with any probably like fashion design or any, you know, anything like that is the really expensive, the lights, the like beautiful stuff, the summit in the mountain, the playing, being LeBron, like whatever, the thing that sells the most. And I think, you know, you, the proverbial you, could just go outside and put your feet even on the concrete, like that simple, and close your eyes for just a second. Like, what does that concrete feel like? What does it hurt your feet? Does it feel good? Can you give yourself a little massage with it? Can you, you know, like that also is land. It's just underneath. If you don't have a yard, not everybody has the pleasure of a yard. Not everybody has the, you know, the pleasure of being able to walk out their front door and feeling necessarily safe. So can you do it for 30 seconds? Do you have 10 seconds? Can you, you know, just maybe be a little bit more mindful about what it feels like when the sun hits your shoulders or if the rain hits you or, you know, like these, you know, I remember the first time my son felt the wind and it like blew me away that someone could feel that for the first time, you know? And I think if we kind of bring it down to just a very basic level, then we can start to understand, like, how can we be in more harmony with it? And if we learn how to appreciate it on just a micro level, I think the conversations around conservation, the conversations around these bigger topics that society is having will get easier for us to have as an outdoor community rather than just like going for it so quickly. Does that answer your question?
Oh, absolutely. It's lovely. I mean, really beautiful. I love the examples that you gave. And if any listeners are, you know, if you haven't been outdoors or you think, well, it's too much for me or I can't camp or whatever the thought is, I just love what Jocelyn just said about like feeling the sun on your shoulders, like that connection. And I believe what you're saying is like, you know, our collective well-being comes first, but our collectivism is not human. It's animals, it's trees, it's flowers, it's sun, it's wind, like to take it to a whole nother level. And God knows that we need healing in this world. And being outdoors is definitely a healing factor, no doubt.
Well, it provides such a, I think, something I realized on that trip, like it'd been a really long time since I go outside all the time. I love it. I mean, I was out there with my lashes and nails. I did my nails in my tent. Like I'm going to do me regardless. I was really upset. I didn't have my hoops when I was out there. I was like, don't make it. But like, you can just do you. You don't have to like, it's okay to want to wear like lip gloss out there if that's how you roll, you know? But I think something I realized when I was out there is like, it'd been the first time that I'd ever been somewhere for such a long period of time without being able to talk to family or friends, without being able to use my phone. Like I haven't done that kind of camping, like that long of a period. I've maybe gone a couple days, but that was like 12 days, I think, that we were out. Yeah. And we had a couple moments, but I have really bad cell service, so I couldn't talk to anybody. And that level of like solitude and separation from all of the things just really made me think so much differently about what I was taking in, how I was processing my life, what I'm processing as, you know, a mother, as a woman, or as a human being. And I don't know where else you get that other than out there. Like, I would love to know if there is, but I don't think, like, those kind of smells, like being that cold or being that hot or being that tired and like irritated, but just surrounded, like you open up your tent and it's just like, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's wild.
Yeah, it was. I'm still processing it as well. I have never done anything like that. I've never done any backcountry anything, carried a big pack like that. And I just hadn't had the experience. I was willing. My soul said yes before my mind could think like, wait a minute, girl, you're going to do what? But my soul said yes first. So it was magnificent. Mm-hmm. And I was glad to share it with you. To be there together was really something.
That was amazing. And you know what, what I found interesting is when I was telling people about it, and this is something else I'm trying to like unpack, and I don't know if you heard this, was like, I told my uncle what I was doing and he was like, Jocelyn, don't you know you black? Like, we don't do that mess. Like, that's not what we do. And we do tell ourselves that story a lot, I feel like on a lot of social platforms or like family, like, we don't, what are you doing? It's like, actually, that's exactly what we did and what we have been doing for years. We've been conditioned to think we can't.
Right.
But that's actually, we actually own that mess. Like,
that's right.
So rooted in us that if you just got out there, you would be like, oh, I'm home. I just right. know
you could. Exactly. Exactly. Home. Yes. And we do need to own that. We need to reclaim it. Because
yes.
It's not, it hasn't gone anywhere, actually. It is still ours to have that we own. And so I had the same thing from my aunt. She's like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I was just like, auntie, I am going. It is happening.
Yes.
Oh, wow. What a great conversation. We are coming up on our break and you're listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, beautiful, amazing designer and founder of Black Earth United. Jocelyn Rice is with me. If you just hang on, we'll be right back.
It is time to get inspired to take action in your life. Tune in to Know You're Crazy.
Crazy.
With me, Susan Danae. We are identifying, understanding, and treating our crazy one episode at a time. We all have crazy in our lives. The thing that sets us apart is how we deal with it. And I've got you covered. Enjoy your journey. You are worth it. Visit SusanDanae.com. That's DENEE.com.
You are a brilliantly self-aware woman with a big heart and a cycle of dissatisfying relationships. Maybe you're drawn to a man who lights a fire in you but leaves you feeling amiss. Does that sound about right? My name is Love Coach Mariah and I help women navigate the rough waters of rocky relationship from push and pull to peace of mind. Learn more at lovecoachmariya.com. The first call is on me.
Hi everyone, this is Courtney Cottrell, host of Unapologetically Favorite on Transformation Talk Radio, here to give you some tips on how you can move your life forward if you're feeling stuck by using the GROW model. First, use the letter G to write down the goal that you ultimately want to achieve, whether it's working out 1 hour a day or working towards a promotion at work. Second, using the letter R, think realistically about the roadblock that is currently holding you back from accomplishing your goals. Third, use the letter O. Think about the options or opportunities that will help you in achieving your goal. What can you change in your daily routine that will help you move closer to achieving your goal? Fourth, Use the letter W to discover your will and make a true commitment to achieving your goal by writing down a completion date. Once you've reached your goal, celebrate your accomplishment. You are capable of achieving anything you set your mind to. Never give up and keep being unapologetically you.
Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit transformationtalkradio.com.
We're back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. I have Jocelyn Rice, founder of Black Earth United. Jocelyn is a mother, a Black outdoor futurist, and a three-time Gear of the Year award-winning apparel designer who brings love and light to environmental justice, design, and exposure. Jocelyn, how can our listeners find you? They want to know more about your work and about you.
You can find me on IG at Black Earth United. You can find me on like all those socials at Black Earth United. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. And then my website is blackearthunited.com as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And so your work, you use your work for social change and outdoor liberation. Can you tell us about that? Like, I love what you're saying about like history using, when I saw the Harriet jumper, I have to say, like, when I saw the Harriet, I'm Harriet all the way.
Yes. Like,
there's a lot of Harriet all around me right now. When I saw that Harriet, I was like, what is that? What is happening here? What is that for? I mean, I just like, it just broke so many paradigms. So break some paradigms for our listeners about your work. Like, So amazing.
I mean, I think the great thing about, for me, the way that I choose to work or within design or art is really just telling other people's stories in a different way, because everybody else's idea is so great and there's so many great leaders and there's so many, we have so many great ancestors, so many stories that we just don't know about that, like, I don't feel like I need to create something new, but what I can do is like help tell a story differently. And I think Harriet, so the reason I started Black Earth United and left design, corporate design, was because of, you know, the crescendo that happened in 2020 and just really recognizing, which I had seen for a really long time and been so invisible in the industry. Invisible. You don't see Black women working in design. You don't see Black women in leadership. You don't, like, my ideas, I felt, weren't heard in a way because I am telling somebody else's message. It's somebody else's organization. It's somebody else's idea of what the outdoors was. And not that I didn't find inspiration in some of it, but it was really, really different than what I felt comfortable with and the messages that I felt I wanted to spread and like to get more people out there to change that narrative. And so I did a conference called The Through Line in 2020, where we just brought a lot of Black outdoor leaders together and we just had conversations about joy and like love for the outdoors. No pain, no nothing. It was just like, this is why I love this. I loved it because my grandparents did it. And we told all of their stories and told their grandparents' stories. And then after that, I was like, I wanted to create a line and I wanted to use do-rags as an example of a piece of our history that we all know and sometimes love or hate or whatever, and like use the fabrications of that I know in the outdoors that would work really well for our hair. Because for me, a big barrier, and I know for a lot of my female friends, was just going out into the outdoors and really worrying about what your hair was going to do. And like, you know, we have a lot of kind of trauma to work through with our hair and how the world perceives us if we go out without our hair perfect and not in its natural state. So how can I provide someone with a tool to be able to go out in the outdoors with something that is comforting to them, in addition to they can feel like safe you know, with it on their head. And you can wear it in different ways. So it's not traditionally, like you can wear it the traditional way, but the materials I use, you can wear in other ways. But so that just allows, that's one story, that's one shift that I want to make. And then with the jumpers as well, they were inspired by Joseph K. Bowler, who was a preacher in the antebellum South, and he would travel across the South preaching the word of God. But he couldn't, so he made himself a Jim Crow traveling kit because he couldn't like wear his suit on the trains because people would spit on him. He would ride with the hogs. Like, he wasn't allowed to sleep in the hotels. He would have to sleep outside. So he designed himself a Jim Crow traveling kit, and it consisted of a pair of these coveralls that were, he had bought from an auto mechanic. So I'll go to different auto mechanic shops. I will purchase their used coveralls, and then I'll kind of repurpose them and then find different stories to tell with on those coveralls. So you're just from the inside out. So you're really living how I feel. It's like you're living in, you're embodying this person, this powerful preacher from the South that protected himself from other people and from the elements. So that when he took it off, he's wearing his suit underneath and he looks clean and tight. And then you're also getting the story of something, whether it's the turpentine camps in Florida and how we survived there, whether it's Harriet's journey, whether, you know, there's so many stories to tell. It's like endless. You could never stop. And so being able, and then I bless everything that I put out as well. Everything's one of a kind. And so I really want to like create something that you really feel safe and comfortable and like, that's just given to you with love and like care and thought, you know. I don't think I answered your question, but
you totally answered my question, and I can't wait to put up on the website like the pictures where people could see, like they go to your website, they will see these jumpers. And that was such a powerful story, like a Jim Crow like kit. Like I need to be able to survive. And so therefore I need to put something on that so I can save myself or reduce harm to my body, this dark body. And these coveralls are it. These jumpers are it. That is so powerful to me. Mm-hmm. So powerful. I think we all could use some jumpers nowadays.
We sure could. And if you want to read about him, it's really small. There's a really great book called Race and Retail. And that's where I found out about him, was just kind of reading. You know, I love to read. It's one of my favorite things to do. And finding books about the Black experience that are maybe like very hard to find, that do take a little bit more like the ungoogleable stories that you're not going to find. So if you want to find out about Joseph K. Bowler, you do need to go to this book and find it. You might be able to find a couple paragraphs on him on the internet, but he really is like, you know, an ungoogleable story. Like, how dope is that to be able to find
really dope,
you know?
That's some fire right there. I'm feeling that in my heart. I really am, because sometimes when I go out to do work, and I know that you probably have this experience, or you may have this experience too, it's like, you know, you're stepping out there sometime on uncharted water. You don't know who you're going to come in contact with. You know in your heart that you're going to do the work for emancipation, for people and liberation, but you don't know, like you really like, you're invisible when you're in a dominant system. But soon as you open your mouth to advocate, you become very visible. Mm-hmm. Become very visible. So I could use a jumper. I can
get you a jumper. That's right. Another Harriet jumper.
That's right. I gotta get a jumper. So I let them know when they see me in that jumper.
That's right.
I'm coming. You know I'm coming. That is so awesome. Your work is so expansive. And one of the things that while we were out there in the Arctic, you talked about different fabrics. You talked about outdoor that you design hunting and fishing wear. You talked about like, and that would really like captured me was that the way that you talked about it with so much care and intentionality, and then layer on top the cultural aspect. I just thought, this is like mind blowing. Like, I never thought about hunting. I never thought about what hunters wear. But while we were out there in the cold, I started to think about that a little bit. So tell me your, like, so what is your dream, like, your dream outdoor design for, what is it? Like, what is that thing that we're, that's going to be coming? I know it's coming. Like, what is that thing?
I think I talked a lot about hunting and fishing on our trip. I mean, I love hunting gear. I love it because, and that's what I wore mostly out there, was some hunting gear that I designed, because it is just, it's so multi-purpose and you are blended in with your environment, which I think it makes me feel like I'm more a part of it when I'm like not, when I'm blended in versus standing out, you know? And so those patterns and being able to kind of create things that blend me into the outdoors is, makes me feel more connected to it. So, and it's just, it's so warm when you're in the cold, like you're just, you're so warm. It's very quiet again, because you are, you know, you are hunting an animal. You have to be very, very quiet. You have to be in tune in a way. I think that most, that a lot of other outdoor activities, you don't have to be as in tune. You've mm-hmm. got to be really in tune with your environment. So I really have a love and respect for hunting. I particularly don't like to hunt, but as a designer, I mean, I also am a method designer, is what I like to call myself, I guess, because if I'm going to design something for you, you're going to know that I'm doing it or have done it. Like, I believe very strongly in understanding the subject matter, and that is from, like, I'm looking at a book right now because I'm designing some fishing stuff, and it's called Through the Fish's Eye, and it's an angler's guide to game fish behavior. But, like, I just want to understand everything. So all that to say, I mean, I'd love to have a hunting and fishing line. I'd love to have, living in Portland, I'd love to have a, you know, rainwear line, you know, but and see how I can create something, but not something new, because again, all of the stuff I do currently is not, I'm not putting anything new out into the world in terms of an idea. It's somebody else's. I'm just telling the story. In terms of fabrication, it's somebody else's. It's already been created. I don't think we need more stuff. I think we need to be more intentional about the stuff that we're wearing and creating. So how can I be super creative with it, and but still make it ours as a community? Because I, mm-hmm. as a designer too, you never, even with the Gear of the Year stuff, like, I just designed it, but somebody else helped me with the fabrication. Somebody else helped me with that tech pack. Somebody else helped approve it. Like, you're just a vessel. You're not necessarily, you're not the star of the show. Everybody else is, you know, you're just kind of helping. So I think my dream would be to have a hunting and fishing line inspired by the amazing, beautiful Black people that did amazing things for that industry from the jump, like from, right. the, you know, like we owned that industry for a very, very long time until they found out we owned it. And then we didn't get to own it anymore. Right. So.
Right. I love that. It is time for a break. This has been a fascinating conversation. So heartfelt. You are listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, and I have Jocelyn Rice with me, the founder of Black Earth United. We will be right back after this break.
There isn't a magic pill to creating your healthy lifestyle, yet it doesn't have to be hard or feel impossible. Health works from the inside out, connecting both your body and your mind. Georgette LePage lives and breathes what she teaches, so allow her to be living proof of what can work for you. Connect with her now for a free 30-minute discovery session to see what results you are looking for and how she can help you get them. Visit GeorgetteLePage.com.
What if you could enter a sacred vortex of love and beauty, infused with the power of the earth and ascended masters?
Join myself, Dr. Georgia Herrera and Dr. Sharon Martin, in the Sacred Magic Show.
Bring in the mystical and sacred for healing, airing every third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You too can have your health and life challenges melt away.
Join now and feel your heart open up to the answers to your most important questions.
Stuck in a roundabout of dysfunction? Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Are you wanting more for your life? Are you ready to create your life with confidence and contribution? We all have a gift to give to the world. Becoming you is that gift. In order to truly live your life, you have to become you on purpose and with intention. Leah Rowling supports you in becoming you using the B Method, consistently producing results for hundreds of entrepreneurs and business owners. For more information, visit leahrowling.com.
Courtney Cottrell is walking in her purpose, creating incredible tools to level up your life. Let's introduce you to the Unapologetically Favored Gift Shop, your one-stop shop for all Courtney's motivational books, custom created, inspirational gifts, and more. Products that remind you of your purpose on this planet, infused with the passion to uplift lives. Shop apparel, books, wall art, and more at shopfavored.net.
We're back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. I have Jocelyn Rice, founder of Black Earth United, and she brings love and light to environmental justice, design, and exposure. Jocelyn, how can people reach you on social media? How can they find you?
Sure. You can find me at Black Earth United on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, what else? TikTok. And then you can also find my website at blackearthunited.com, and I blog there, not regularly, but there's some good stuff there.
There is some good stuff there. I have visited there many times. So we have had a wonderful conversation talking about the outdoor space, outdoor design, whose voices are heard and who's seen and who's not seen and who's invisibilized in those spaces. And since Jocelyn and I just came back from a deployment in the Arctic, we were there for longer than I would ever be in the Arctic. We have had recent experiences of being in the backcountry and also with the indigenous people who live there and watching climate change affect their lives. So, how do we, with our sphere of influence, create community for spaces for people who look like me and you, and for those in outdoor wear and exploration and support and expansion of the stories you tell and the work you do and what we experienced with Love and King, Love is King out in the Arctic, in the Arctic Circle?
Yeah, I think, Love is King is Chad Brown's organization. I've been following Chad Brown for a very long time because he is an incredible leader in the outdoors for veterans, for Black folks. Like, he's just really an incredible human being. And something that, I brought up to him as well when we were there is because we were the minority. And women usually are the minority. And when that comes into play, there are just these kind of stereotypical gender roles that we tend to fall into. And we experienced some of those when we were there. And, had courageous conversations about those things when we were out there as a team. And I think that that's, Rumab said the only way forward is through the speed of relationships. And I do really believe that if we can just talk to each other, it sounds like so simple, it's almost ridiculous. But if you can just have conversations with people about how you feel about the outdoors and bringing them along. You and I talked about doing a fly fishing thing together because yes. We both fly fish, and like, how can we bring, mothers into this space? Like, what does that mean? Like, these intersectional identities that we all have, what if we brought Black mothers into the outdoors? What does that mean? Or what if we, you know, like, what does that look like? But really creating these spaces for us to be able to experience the outdoors in a place of comfort, so that we can then move, at least for me, I felt very comfortable with you being there. I don't know how comfortable I would have been if you weren't, you know?
Same here.
So knowing that that's the case, it's like, okay, if we can build a level of comfort together, then we can move into those spaces where we are the minority and feel very comfortable and confident having courageous conversations with people and moving into, again, that relationship, having those relationships with people that are outside of what we're comfortable being with. Does that make, you know?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. And it makes me think about how we are creating community and how we need to continue to create community for our well-being, our collective well-being in the outdoors. And that doesn't mean that you don't need to go to the Arctic Circle.
Right.
But maybe you just go to Deschutes, or maybe you just go over to the Columbia, or maybe you just go over somewhere in your neighborhood or close by your home. But in community, we have power and comfort in community to go and explore. And it was no daunting task that when the five or six of us mobbed in, people of color, that people were like, whoa, like, what's happening?
And they straight up said that too. They said, you stand out here. Like, they straight up called it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, we were, when you see us together, we're not a gang. We are people in the outdoors just like you are. And those paradigms need to be broken for people who are engaging us as well as for ourselves. And so having that community and starting those things, I'm looking forward to the fly fishing. And matter of fact, I'll just mention right here that tomorrow we're doing some work to help support rivers in Oregon. Mm-hmm. And with the American River Act, I think that's the name of it. But it's Senator Wyden's to protection of over 4,000 rivers in Oregon, to protect them so that people like me and you can go out to the rivers and that we would have safety and recreation and be able to connect with nature. So I look forward to, do you want to say anything about that? We're going to be actually doing a project tomorrow with Chad Brown and for the care of Oregon rivers.
Yeah, I'm excited about that project too, because I think for my, like, being able to talk about it in the way that, like, I love just getting in the water. I love it surrounding my body. I love how it feels. Like, I love, like, talking about the relationships each of us have to water, I think is super interesting. And this act that Senator Wyden has put together is an expansion of an act that happened in the 60s. And so we're just really expanding on that act to create even more waterways that are protected. And I, you know, living in Oregon, we are so privileged. We are beyond privileged. I don't even know if we recognize how undeniably privileged we are to live in this state and all of the things it does for the environment, environmental justice, and climate change. It's wild. And I want that so desperately for everybody else. I want it for the people in Flint. I want it for the people in Texas. I want it, you know, like, I want it for people in Baltimore. Like, I want it for people that don't get to have it, like, because it is so unbelievably powerful. And how can we use that sphere of influence that we have and these microphones that social media has allowed us to, like, really lean into our voices and say, like, you, like, how can we get you there? Like, what do we need to do together to, like, make sure that we all do have fresh waterways? Like, yeah. Some people don't even have fresh drinking water. And out here, we're like, oh, we want to protect all this water, while other people don't even have fresh drinking. Like, how can we have equity in this space is also a really big question I constantly ask myself as someone who's interested in the outdoors. Because I live in a place that is just, the abundance of it is beyond spectacular. So,
yeah, I mean, I like that a lot. And especially that, you know, the idea of not just the outdoor space, but how does that intersectionality of all parts of life and having that equanimity across the board. And, you know, we know people don't have drinking water. We know people are hungry. I know that we both just had travel after the Arctic Circle. And, you know, in D.C., I saw the same tents that I see here. And I said, and my colleague said, wow, I'm surprised there's tents. And I was like, you know, we have people who are without homes, and we have a lot of work to do. So I love any kind of work that we're going to work in community, mm-hmm. whether it's the outdoors and exploration there, but it doesn't mean that it stops there. And I love what you said. Like, I want people in Flint to have fresh drinking water and also to be able to enjoy. And that means that we need to pay attention to what's happening in the world, mm-hmm. what's happening in the Arctic Circle, what's happening in Flint, what's happening in Texas. You know, I think we're stewards. We're stewards of the earth. And so I think it's really important that we do that. Yeah, I am. Go ahead.
When we do say that, just it can be really overwhelming for people, because it's like, there's so much. How do we do all that? I feel like is required of us is, like I said, just pay attention, just listen, just read, just, you know, absorb it and find out, ask yourself inside, like, what matters to me? And that's really all. It doesn't have to be all of it. You're never going to fix all of it. Like, we are on this train. The train is moving. It's happening. So just ride it, but listen actively and figure out what matters to you. That's it. That's
really— I love it. I love it. That's a great place to end. Figure out what matters to you. It has been fascinating and amazing to have Jocelyn Rice on. Our time is up. Thank you for coming to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace with me, Dr. Lisa. You can find me at lisayycollins.com or Education Through Engagement. You can find me on Instagram and on Twitter at Engage and Lisa C. Healing. You know, I just want you to think about, you know, remember to treat yourself like your best friend. Mm. If you could just treat yourself like your best friend, man, we would have a lot in common as we would learn to love each other. Thank you for being here. Thank Jocelyn Rice for being here. Next show will be about the indigenous tribes that we were able to learn about in the Arctic Circle. So I had a wonderful time. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. You spent the last hour engaging in challenging and transformational conversations, all for the purpose of living a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Join me next time to continue growing in love and light through healing practices and acts of love. To learn more or work with me, Dr. Lisa, visit educationthroughengagement.com. That's educationthroughengagement.com. Remember, the world changes when we change by coming home to love. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.